And I've got a question for you to think about. Does God hear your prayers? Does he? Now, you could ask that question to probably just any old Charlie churchgoer in the world, and they would probably say, well, sure he does. He's God, isn't he? Kind of like, that's his job. That's what he's there for. Well, does God hear any old prayer that any old body wants to toss up to him any old time? Does he? Let's allow God himself to answer that question in Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, God said that he that turns away his ear from hearing the law that we just heard about in the sermonette, certainly appreciated that. It says even that person's prayer will be an abomination. Now that's probably covering about 99.99% of the people on earth today. And I looked up that word abomination that was used and other translations render that word disgusting and loathsome. Disgusting and loathsome. Now you think about that for a moment. God calls some people's prayers disgusting and loathsome. As we heard, he's the final authority of the universe. And God decides whose prayers he will hear and who he won't. And brethren, what this verse is saying, people that willfully and deliberately choose to break God's laws bring a curse on their lives. Look at this messed up world around us. That's what it's done. It's cursed. Mr. Martin says many times over and over that Israel was cursed and their blessings taken from them because of the double sin of idolatry and Sabbath breaking. Now, we serve a very merciful and loving, forgiving God. And thankfully, he will forgive our sins. But we do have to repent of them. Now, God is merciful, but he's no pushover. He doesn't take his Sabbath days lightly, and neither can we. And when you think about it, you could say that Sabbath breaking is the same as an idolatry or the same sin. They're mentioned together many times. Because when you choose not to keep that Sabbath holy, then you choose to put something before the one true God in your life. And you decide that something else is more important than God. Notice Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. We can never take sin lightly, brother. Never, ever. It will destroy us. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over us. And it doesn't anymore because that the power of sin has been broken. Because God has granted us repentance. You're not under the law and not under that curse, that penalty of eternal death, but we are under grace. Now, notice what Paul says here. He asks the question, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And then he answers his own question here. Well, God forbid. Now, brethren, if you are a baptized member of the body of Christ, we need to listen to what God is saying right here in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto eternal death or obedience to righteousness. Now let's just consider a moment the rule that James gave us. When you break one, you break them all. When you willfully continually choose not to keep the Sabbath holy, you choose to put something before the one true God, violating the first two commandments. You choose to dishonor his holy name that he has shared with you, breaking the third one. You certainly got the fourth one, to keep the Sabbath holy, and the fifth one, dishonoring your heavenly Father. The seventh one by committing spiritual adultery. And you got the eighth and the tenth, coveting and stealing his holy time. And certainly you got the ninth one, this is 9 out of 10, when you lied to God, because we all agreed to struggle to keep those laws holy when we were baptized. Always remember, brethren, that very milestone scripture in 1 John 2 and verse 4 that tells us if we claim to know the true God, you know, we claim to know him, have a relationship with him, and don't keep his commandments, then we're liars. And the truth is not in us. And the reason the truth is not in us is because Satan has deceived us. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to lighten up here in just a moment. Bible tells me I get a little too intense sometimes. Proverbs 1. And verse 20 tells us that wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. Wisdom is the subject here. Wisdom cries in the chief places of concourse and in the openings of the gates. And in the city she utters her words, and this is what she tells us. I read this next 22, verse 22 out of several translations. And basically, this is what it says. How long, you stupid ones, will you love stupidity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, that's the powerful words God's using there. Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words to you through his spirit. Now then, verse 24 says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. He said, I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear comes. Now, is that the God that you know? Is that the God of the Bible that you know? He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah to those who refuse to submit to his authority by keeping his laws. But he's coming back as a lamb to us, to his children, his people. Verse 27, when your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind and is coming, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me and I won't answer. They'll seek me early, but they won't find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose. And that's a very important word there. They did not choose the fear of God daily. They would none of my counsel and despise my reproof, and therefore, because of that, shall they eat of the fruit of their doings. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But God's talking to us right here in verse 33, but whosoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from evil. So it's good for us, brethren, to be reminded that through God's grace, we do have access to God the Father and the Creator of this universe. And in his high and very exalted position, that God hears and answers our prayers. But there are requirements and conditions that we have to meet first. So today we're going to look at the steps to answered prayer. All of us want God to hear those prayers when we get down on our knees before our Creator. Turn now to Proverbs 15. Let's just notice who God does hear. Proverbs 15. We saw who he did not hear. Proverbs 15. In verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. We've already covered that word to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. In verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loves those that follow after righteousness. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And Psalm 119, 172 tells us who the righteous are. There's somebody on the earth today. Those who struggle to live by God's laws and keep his Sabbaths and commandments. That's the group that God refers to many times as his saints, his children, his righteous ones, his holy ones. So as humbling as it is, we are the people he's talking about. He didn't refer to us as his sinless ones or his perfect ones. But in Christ, we are his holy ones. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that the eyes of God, thankfully, are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Now, the first step that we're going to look at to answered prayer is obedience. We're going to home in on obedience. Turn to 1 John 3. And verse 22, God recorded here for us, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And here's the reason. It's because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to our Creator. Now, brethren, since the law of God is so very central to our calling and our everyday life, how often do you think about them? Do you think about them every day? God tells us we are what we think about. So if you don't think about God's laws regularly, then you probably aren't growing in grace and knowledge, or have a very effective prayer life. Now, Christ hammered that point home many scriptures, many places, that the fact to answered prayer and keeping his laws go hand in hand. And this is from the Creator that he recorded for us. Go to John 14. John chapter 14. Christ said right here in verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the person that loves me, and that's the person that I and my Father love. Not just know about the commandments, but keeps them, struggles to obey God. And then Christ is telling us right here, he says, and shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So you see what he's saying here is, as we struggle to obey God and submit to his authority, then we're building a good relationship with God the Father and Christ. Notice verse 13. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. So there's another requirement of answered prayer right there. In Jesus' name means by his authority, with his permission or approval. And we pray through his righteousness. And the reason we do that, brethren, is because we don't have any. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we're going to add to that equation right there in just a moment. Anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice chapter 15, verse 7. Chapter 15 and verse 7. Christ recorded here for us. He says, if you abide in me, and my words that we're reading right here, abide in you, you can ask what you will and it will be given to you. You know, faith comes by hearing, and we're hearing by the word of God, and we're here to be encouraged in faithfulness. Hearing God's words increases and nurtures and expands, and it strengthens and renews our faith and commitment to the Creator. We're here provoking each other in a right way, in love, by assembling together. Now, look at verse 16. Christ said, "You have not chosen me," and that's good to keep in mind. We didn't choose to be put into the body of Christ, but "I have chosen you and set you apart in a special group, that you should go forth and bring forth a lot of fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Now look at chapter 16. In verse 23, Christ said, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing, but truly I'm telling you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, but ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." And we are happy people when our prayers are answered. Now let's go back to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 66. Psalm chapter 66. In verse 18, now God has recorded here through the psalmist, "If I regard iniquity, lawlessness in my heart or my mind, then God won't hear me. But verily God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. And blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Now, the difference, as I've mentioned before, brethren, in a converted and a non-converted mind, is a converted person sits around and he thinks about how he can obey God and keep those commandments. And an unconverted mind sits around and thinks about how they can break those commandments and get away with it, they think. Or they regard sin in their heart. So if you catch yourself doing that, then you know you need to get on your knees and ask for repentance. Revelation 3 tells us in the letter to the Laodiceans that Christ is on the outside knocking to get in. As I mentioned earlier this year, if we're holding on to some sin and won't let it go, and putting something before the one true God, then our relationship with God suffers. He's on the outside asking, knocking to come in. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 shows us that deliberate, willful sin cuts us off from God. And then, of course, our prayers won't be very effective. And in that state, we probably won't be praying much anyway. Unless or until we get in trouble. And then we need something. And then where's God? So it's always good to bear in mind what we read in Proverbs 1. If we don't hear God, he won't hear us. And as I said earlier, thankfully, God is merciful. And he is willing, ready, and able, and desires to forgive us if we repent. Notice Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34. And the book of Psalms probably has more to say about prayer than any other book in the Bible. 34 and verse 15 here. The eyes of God, thankfully, are upon the righteous, and his ear is open to their cry. The face of the Eternal is against those that do evil, to cut them off from the earth, from even remembrance. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and God hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now consider for just a moment. What is your relationship like with God? Do you feel like he's close by? Hears your prayers? Or do you feel like he's far off someplace, not involved and not interested in your life? Verse 19, God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and we could all amen that one. But he says, but the Lord delivers them out of all of those troubles, afflictions, just like he said there in verse 17. Out of all their troubles. He didn't say some of them, a part of them, but all of them. Now with that, we might add that it may not be the way we choose to be delivered, or it may not be on our timetable, because God is a God of great patience, and he wants us to learn that characteristic also. Go to Psalm 37 now. This is a very beautiful scripture here. Psalm 37 in verse 3. God said, trust in the eternal and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. In verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the eternal, and that God you delight in will give you the desires of your heart. Not just your needs and necessities, but your desires, your hopes and dreams as well. In verse 5, commit your way unto the eternal and trust God, and he'll bring it to pass. In Psalm 55:16, David said, I'll call upon God, and he will hear my voice. Sounds like David has a lot of confidence there that he's talking to somebody that's listening to it. He didn't say, I hope he hears, or maybe he's listening, but he will hear. Now, when you pray, do you have that confidence? Do you think that God is listening to every word? Verse 6 here of Psalm 37. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as noonday. Rest in the eternal and wait patiently for him, and don't worry over much. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not. For evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait on the eternal shall inherit the kingdom. Or in other words, keep your eyes focused on that kingdom. Go to Psalm 145 now, over about 100 chapters. Psalm 145. What else is more important than a good, healthy prayer life with God? Maintaining and building your relationship with your Creator. Psalm 145 and verse 18, God recorded here that the Eternal is near unto all of those that call upon him, to all of us that call on him in truth. And that's what we're doing here today, worshiping the Creator in truth and spirit. And that God we're calling on will fulfill the desire of those that fear him. He will hear their cry. He will save them. Look at those promises. Number one, that he is near to all those that call on him in truth. Two, that he will give them their desires. Three, that he will hear their prayer. And four, he will take action on them. Now, Psalm 146 and verse 5, God says, happy is that person who has the true God of the Bible as his hope, the God of Jacob for his help, which made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, and he keeps truth forever. And thankfully, as we know, the truth has a life of its own. It can't die, thankfully. Look at verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. God raises them like he did ours. Good to think about that, as Christ told us. You know, he chose us. We didn't choose him. God opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those that are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous. In verse 9, the Eternal preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. And while we're here, look at chapter 147 and verse 11. It says, God takes pleasure in those that fear him, respect him, honor him, obey him. He takes pleasure in hearing from the righteous. Revelation tells us that the prayers of the saints, and that's us, are like sweet smelling perfume coming up before him. Now then, the next step that we'll cover is that we must ask, we must pray according to God's will. And if we do ask for something that's against God's will, he still will answer his saints. But probably the answer would be the ones that we'd give our own children. No. Sometimes we may want our will more than God's. So we make up our minds of what we want, and then we set about trying to persuade God to give it to us. Remember Christ's prayer in the garden when he was facing murder and torture? He asked God to spare him. But he was willing to accept the Father's will. And sometimes that's hard to do. But true faith would be to ask God to put his will above our wishes. Let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. In verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything that's according to his will, see, that's added in this scripture. It wasn't in one of the earlier ones that we read. A little different piece of the puzzle here. According to his will, that he hears us. And if we know God's will, then we can pray with the same confidence that David had, that he hears us. Now, what if according to his will was left out of the puzzle there? You know, you could ask anything and get it. You know, God, I want a new F-250 pickup truck with the back end loaded down with gold bars. But God would probably say, well, that's 16... your old Ford truck you have is good enough for you, for who it's for. I like Fords, but I've about decided that F-O-R-D stands for fix or repair daily. Notice verse 15 right here. Now, this is a very precious promise, very comforting and encouraging scripture for us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Notice Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is the acceptable will of God. In verse 17, Paul said, wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Now, well, we might think, you know, how are we supposed to know that? But God's word shows us his will. But we do have to read it and study it to understand it. And if we do read that word every day, it's designed to renew a right spirit, a right attitude in us daily. And it reminds us that there is a God. And he's got certain standards that he requires of us to live by. Paul said in Romans 12:2, to renew your mind, improve God's will. Now then, another step to answered prayer is simply believe God. go to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 21, Joe gave a good sermonette on this point a few weeks ago. Mountain moving prayers. Jesus answered and said unto us, truly I'm telling you, if you have faith and doubt not, then you not only can do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it'll be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, then you shall have it. God says to simply believe God. Believe His Word. Believe His promises. Believe His will is best for us, both today and tomorrow. And as we do grow in conversion, grace and knowledge, then our priorities and our prayers begin to change. And we realize that not all things are good for us. Some things might be a stumbling block in our lives. Notice Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. And verse 23 here. Is Christ again. In verse 22, and Christ answered and said to us, have faith in God, for truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that it's going to happen, and he'll have what he asked for. Brethren, that is mountain-moving prayers. Have you ever offered up any of those to God? And there was an elder out in California whose son was on some foreign land or island, and he contracted some kind of fatal disease, and the doctors gave up all hope on him, sent him home to die. And that elder fell on his face for 7 days, crying out for God to heal his son, to spare him. And his son was healed. And later someone asked him how his son was doing, and he said, oh, I knew all along God was going to heal him. See, that's mountain-moving prayers. That's living, believing faith in action. Verse 24, here's Christ says, therefore, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you're going to have them, and you will. And, of course, we've seen the other conditions and requirements he adds there. Now then, I won't ask for a show of hands, but did you pray this morning? Do you remember what you prayed for? Did you expect God to hear and answer each item? Maybe you thank God for the Sabbath, for safety traveling, for peace. I sure hope you prayed about the speaking and the hearing. If you didn't, and I do a bad job on this sermon, then it's all your fault. Now then, the next step that we're going to consider to answered prayer may be very obvious, but you do have to ask, or you're not going to get anything. You do have to ask. Look at James 1. James chapter 1. In verse 5, James said, if any man or any of us lack wisdom, then ask God for it. And God gives to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it'll be given to you. You know, I ask God for wisdom quite often. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, that's good, you sure need it. But just think how bad I'd be if I didn't ask. Verse 6 here. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven to and forth, tossed back and forth. But let not that person think that he will receive anything from the Eternal. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and not just his prayer life. James chapter 4, in verse 1, God said, "From whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust? And you war in your members, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot get it. You fight and you war and you have not, and here's the reason. You don't ask." Now you just picture for a moment. Suppose you could see God in heaven. Suppose you could look into heaven and see him standing there with an armload of blessings and an angel standing there beside him. And he asked the Father, "Well, who are those blessings for? Who's that armload of blessings for?" And God tells him, "Well, that's for old Mr. Smith down there on earth." And the angel said, "Well, why don't you give them to him?" And God said, "Well, he hadn't asked. And he needs to learn where his blessings come from. And not take me or them for granted." Now let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 now. You know, brethren, prayer is job one and should always be our first response. And I've said this before, you know, but I've got a little motto: if I don't get it, it's not because I didn't ask. It's probably because it wasn't good for me. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask." This is the Creator here recording this for us. "Ask and it shall be given. Seeking, you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. For everyone that asks, gets. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it will be, that door will be opened to him. Or what man is there of you whom of his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent?" See, God is trying to show us here that relationship that he wants with us. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," in which we all do, and want good for our children, "how much more shall our kind Heavenly Father give good things to us if we ask Him?" Now, brethren, let's turn to James 5 in conclusion. James chapter 5. And I hope you always bear this scripture in mind when you are praying. James chapter 5, in verse 15, God says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, there be forgiven him." And verse 16 is where we're trying to get to here. He said, "Confess your faults to each other, and especially to God." And then, brethren, he said, "Pray for each other." Are you doing that? Do you do that? Pray for each other. And here's the reason: that you may be healed, that you can be blessed, like old Job was when he prayed for his friends. Pray for one another, that you may be healed, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.